problem is that many people never grow out of that self-serving idea. When two self-serving people marry, then the struggle really begins, and the multitude of broken homes bears witness to the fact. Lovers of money. Now, the Bible never says that there's something wrong with money. It says always, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You've noticed, like I have, that during this pandemic, the government hasn't been able to find a big enough shovel to throw money around. And there's been no lack of people and agencies and governments to hold out their hands for it. No, it's not money. It's the greed for money that is the problem. Boasters. We've all met braggarts who push themselves forward. Proud, arrogant people, overbearing, thinking some more of themselves than of others, and often treating others with contempt. Blasphemers. Blasphemers. Profane, abusive, foul-mouthed, contemptuous, insulting, putting themselves before God. Have you met anybody like that? Listen, there was a time when I myself was foul-mouthed. I think others of you can identify, right? It was the Lord that was necessary to change that. Only He could change a foul-mouthed blasphemer into a person that speaks of Jesus with love. Disobedient to parents, rebellious, lacking any sense of relationship or responsibility to others. Can you believe what we see on the television these days? People with no respect for any authority of any type. You see, there's a reason for discipline of children and for teaching manners and respect in the home. I feel for single parents because it's hard enough to teach children proper respect and behavior with two parents, believe you me. When our kids were small and we'd be sitting at the dinner table and something would come up and one of us would, either my wife or I, would say no. And the little head would swivel to see what the other one was saying. And if the other one didn't back up what the first one was saying, that little beggar knew that he was winning the day. But because two of us agreed, then he had to put his mischievous nature away and at least to some degree behave. Now, that's not to claim that all parents who have, all kids whose parents have split up are troubled. There are lots of single parents who do an excellent job of raising their families, but it's not easy, and I feel for them, I respect them, and admire them. And if there are single parents here this morning, my hat goes off to you in the task that is yours. There are those kids who lack a good support system and never learn self-discipline. And it's sad when you see it, because They have no support to help them to walk as they ought to. And unfortunately, they often end up on the wrong side of the law. Unthankful. In a socialistic society like ours, it's easy to take for granted the fact that our medical bills are paid by the government and we receive payments for each of our children and the old age pension and Canada pension plan when we reach that age. When you send a gift to a grandchild or other person, it's really nice when you get back a thank you. And they say, thanks, Grandma. Thanks, Grandpa. Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Dad. Thanks, Uncle. But it doesn't always happen, does it? By nature, children can be quite unthankful. If they are, especially if they don't have somebody to help them to understand. Unholy, profane, irreverent, holding nothing sacred, unloving. The ESV says heartless, but we speak of people who are hard-hearted, without natural affection. Unforgiving. Why do relationships break down when with people refusing to speak to one another for years? Why do people refuse any attempt at reconciliation? How much harm is done to those looking on? Slanderers. All of this often leads to malicious gossip and the spreading of false rumors about people. How true it is that lies told often enough start to be accepted as truth. Amen? Without self-control. If a child has not been given a healthy parental control, they are unlikely to develop a healthy self-control. And without self-control, the way is open for the need of police control. But here's the other side of that coin. What happens when people's self-control puts them at odds with the government and an unnecessary and unjustified police control, such as took place under the Emergencies Measures Act earlier this year? Then government control can make criminals out of law-abiding citizens, leaving one to wonder if it's the rulers who are lacking self-control. Brutal. Savage. Fierce. Do you notice the downward trend in these characteristics? We see it increasing day by day as we see bloodshed and violent crime on our evening news. There seems to be no end of brutality, not only on the streets, but in warfare. I've been watching overseas lately. Of course you have. You can't avoid it. And when you go back over various warfares and purges and so on in history, it's unbelievable the brutality that human beings can express towards one another. Despisers of good. Doesn't it seem that there is hatred toward every form of morality today? Do you notice that Christianity is under increasing attack? Evil is being treated as good, and good is being treated as evil. How our society has changed. Traitors, treacherous, betrayers of others, headstrong, reckless, self-willed, haughty, blind with pride or conceit, being rendered foolish or stupid or besotted. lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, devoted to personal sensuality, and it all gets the approval of our inclusive society. We are living in the day when addictions of all types are taking the lives of countless victims, and the government really has no way of dealing with it except making it easier to get the substances which are killing people. You see, when human beings turn their backs on what God says, they are left dependent on what man says. And what man says sways and shifts with the weather. And there's no solid, stable place on which to take a stand. And so, human beings and our society does the best it can by pressing home some laws that they hope will help and somehow or other will help to alleviate the problem. But because they left God out of the picture, they're facing an impossible task. Why do we give a slap on the wrist to the murderers who reap such profits from producing substances which are taking the lives of so many? Boy, I tell you, my soul burns up within me when I see people that are absolute murderers of multitudes. And the government can't do a thing about it. Oh, they go to jail for a little while, maybe. Because of the widespread promotion of pride, the pride flag, and the lifestyle being embraced by every means available to the media, and because of its acceptance as the order of the day by politicians, by business, and the inclusive society at large, we're left in a troubled day. I looked up the behavior found in pride parades. We've all marveled at the increasing boldness of antisocial activities which seem to be the norm at these events. But seeing people riding bicycles and parading in complete nudity in front of women and children seems to have pushed the boundaries beyond any acceptable measure. To protect viewers on television, body parts are blocked from view. But there's no blocking such sights from those who are on the sidelines cheering them on, including children. We are experiencing Sodom and Gomorrah. And why should we expect God to not send fire and brimstone once again? And frankly, God has it in his capabilities because we got nuclear warfare that could produce more than fire and brimstone. Dear ones, this world is ripening onto judgment. We've been programmed for years to know what this is all about. And the children in public schools are being programmed under the guise of education to accept everything associated with this degeneration. But this is all part of living in the last days. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Now, this is rather unexpected. How can people who show forth these characteristics lay any claim to any form of godliness? What this shows is that is the kind of thinking is not confined to the world, but it has found its way into the church as well. Why is it so difficult to find a church that preaches the unadulterated word of God today? My wife and I have sometimes asked ourselves, if we weren't at First Baptist Church, where would we go? Oh, there might be one or two that we could think of. But to tell you the truth, we better give thanks, my friends, for First Baptist Church and for the standards that are held here at this congregation and by our pastors and by our board. So, what shall we do about it? It says, from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Some people find it easier to rebuke attitudes and behavior with which they disagree than others. I've never been terribly bold when it comes to actually looking somebody in the eye and saying, stop that behavior. Or, do you know that you're living a lie? I'm sorry. I got a weak spine. I always have been appreciated some of the men that I've had in various congregations, because in every congregation I've had one man at least that has had a stiff spine. And I always told them, I value you because I'll try to keep you soft and gentle. You keep me firm to the truth. I needed that. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith. Dear ones, these are the perilous times of the last days, and we are living in them and watching as the days grow darker and darker. Now, don't get me wrong. The reality is that this is a wonderful land to live in, and I watch with pleasure when immigrants from other countries are interviewed and speak so glowingly of being able to come to Canada where there is freedom. Well, frankly, I rejoice that there's a measure of freedom today, but so help me. It's slipping. But do we expect that it's going to get better? My friends, these are the perilous times of the last days, and we are living in them, and we are watching as the days grow darker. Look at verse 13. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We are indeed in perilous times. Do we expect things to get better? They will not. And now on this Canada Day weekend, let's thank God for our country. We hear of the World Economic Forum and its plan for the Great Reset. And we see our governments embracing its teachings, and the truth of this verse becomes more and more evident that evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The darkness is deepening. But my friends, this is no time to despair. In the midst of the wickedness of the last days, there are people who are starting to say, out in the community, is there any answer for what is happening in Canada and the United States and the world? Surely there must be something better, and there is. Some of those people that are in the community looking for something better, look up the website of First Baptist Church, and they like what they see, and they come to find out. They not only come here, no doubt they find other websites and go to other places where they can find something that is offering truth to them as well. We have the answer, my friends, for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ says so clearly, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Notice the next words, of whom I am chief. That was the Apostle Paul saying that. If the Apostle Paul could say, of sinners, of whom I am chief, then what can Alan Hearn say? What can you say? Let none of us pretend that we have arrived. If the Apostle Paul could describe himself in that way, then let each of us acknowledge that I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm no better than the people described in this chapter. I deserve God's judgment, but I shall spend my life praising God for the blood of Jesus that was shed for me. I thank the Lord Jesus for taking my sins upon himself and becoming my substitute before the throne of God. What is God's answer to these perilous times? Well, first of all, follow the example of those who are living for Jesus. Look at verse 10. But you have carefully followed my doctrine. He's speaking to Timothy now. Timothy, you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. Dear ones, there are people that you know who are living lives that are God-honoring lives. People who love the Lord Jesus and are not ashamed to love him and to say so. Follow them. Follow their example. Let's join in living for Jesus with all of our hearts. Secondly, raise up our children to believe and follow the Word of God. We can be thankful for our church school and our teachers who are not only teaching a proper education, but also teaching godly values. Listen to what the Bible says to Timothy. From childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Oh, I tell you, my friends, let us thank the Lord for our Christian school and for the teachers here in our school. But they can't do it alone. They need the parents. The parents must lead the way, and we all have a part. But the third thing that I want to stress this morning is to yield yourself and your life to Jesus. Will you join me this morning in confessing your sins and failures? If you haven't done so, will you ask Jesus right now where you sit in that chair to forgive your sins and to come into your life and to make you his child? Will you repent for being guilty of the same things that are spoken of in these perilous times? Jesus Christ is willing and ready to be your Savior, your Lord, and your master. If you're willing to do so, or have questions about what this really means, I could do what doesn't often get done in a Baptist church or in this particular church as well. I mean, there's occasions when we've been given an invitation. I don't mind giving an invitation for people to come forward if there's anyone that wants to come and ask Jesus to come into your life and needs help. If there's anybody that is in that situation and wanted to come forward, then I'm sure some of the deacons or ladies would come alongside and pray with you and assist you to hear what the Word of God says and understand how you may have eternal life and have your life transformed so you can live a proper godly life in this troubled time. But if you don't want to do that, then speak to someone before you go home so you may be sure of your salvation before you go. My conclusion is simply this: in the midst of the darkness, let's do what we can to light the way to safety in these last days. Amen. And Father, I thank you for the privilege of preaching your word, letting your word preach, Lord Jesus. May your Holy Spirit apply it and help us to see how it applies to every area of life. In Jesus' name, amen.